If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3. While we're doing that, do we have any veterans in our midst today? If you would, stand up, please. I'm already standing, I'm sorry. We do want to thank, and I feel bad about this because I'm a veteran. But anyway, we want to thank you for your service, Wayne.
Yes, we
really do. It's a sacrifice that people are willing to make. It is a big adventure, but it is a sacrifice. You take an oath when you go into the military that says you will defend our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And you're willing to give your life for your country. And that's a pledge that you take. Not all of it, but it's part of it. So if you see a veteran, thank them for their service. I have yet to speak to one who got upset because I thanked them for their service. We are going to study a passage today. It has several lessons within this passage, and it is appropriate, not for Veterans Day or anything. I don't know that it has anything to do with that. It's just the passage that the Spirit led me to about midnight last night. And it starts off, the whole thing hinges on this first few verses of chapter 3, in Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That would be the third one. They do one at 9 a.m., one at 12, and one at 3. And the one at 3 was called the ninth hour of the day. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now go to chapter 4. Peter, after he healed the lame man through the power of Jesus, he goes into the tabernacle and he starts preaching. And he has preached a good sermon and everything's going fine. And in chapter 4 it says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.' Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people. And so being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard it, they raised their voice to God with one accord, and they praised God for the next 5-6 verses. And if you go over to verse 28, it says, The people of Israel will gather together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that you, with all boldness, they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, I read a great deal of scripture this morning, but it's all relevant. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the word, and the word is with us. The word is in us. The word is before us. The word is being preached. The word is being taught. And Lord, help us as your humble servants to be bold witnesses for you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Now, if you go back, this man, it says he had been laid before the temple gate ever since he was born. It says from his mother's womb he had been laying there. So he was a cripple from birth. And it also says toward the end of the passage in verse 22, it says he'd been laid there for over 40 years. Now, everybody who came to this temple knew him. I don't get me wrong, I'm not calling him a dog, but he's like these two old butts that come out here and lay under the drive-thru when we get ready to come into church. Everybody knows those dogs. If you've been here more than twice, you know them. They're here every Sunday. You know they're going to be out there laying down and looking at you and wagging their tail. And everybody knew this guy. They knew he was going to be there, that he was helpless, and that he was going to be begging alms, and that was the way that he survived. Is what people would give him. The pennies, they would toss him. And so he had been there doing that for so long. And so naturally he just asked Peter and John. And Peter says, Well, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give you. Let me tell you something. You read on just a little bit, and the man's feet and ankles, his legs were strengthened, they were straightened, whatever was wrong with him, they were fixed, and he took him by the hand, and he stood up, and he went into the tabernacle weeping and praising God. And you know what? We have the same name. We have the same power. We have the same God that Peter and John served is the God that we're serving today in this sanctuary. And so we're going to go on, and the lesson is not about healing so much, but it is about speaking a word for God. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and all of them came together, and they were upset because they were teaching the resurrection of the dead. And it's really strange because if you study the Pharisees, they believe in resurrection. They just didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because Jesus came to do away with the law. And that's how they made their living. That's how they had their power. That's how they had everything, was they exploited the law. They exploited the church. They exploited people's faith. And so they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, which again is ironic because they arrested Jesus at dark and they tried him all night and even tried him the next day. And under Jewish law, that was illegal. Do you see the irony in all that's going on in this? And it came to pass the next day as the rulers, elders, and scribes and everybody got together. So they brought them before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin at this time consisted of 71 elders, 71 priests, 71 Pharisees, rulers, priests, somehow connected to the law. But it says they also brought Annas, who was a former high priest, Caiaphas, and all the families. Any male who was part of the priestly family was there. And they have them, they have seats in a semicircle, and those accused stand down in the center of all these guys around them. So here's Peter and John and the lame man who was healed standing in the middle of an arena with about 100 of the world's, at that time, most authoritative men looking at them. So I want you to picture that in your mind. They've got, your inclination would be to just kind of shrink up and not have much to say. What, how many people have ever stood before a judge in here? Anybody? I've never really stood before a judge, but I have been in the presence when I went to jury duty. And you really, the respect that the atmosphere surrounding them and everything, you really have a servant attitude. And so these guys standing here with all of these guys, and they're accusing them. You would think that they would be pretty meek, wouldn't they? Pretty meek. Well, let's see what Peter does. They're standing there, but then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel." He's calling them right out, you know, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. "If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Now we live in a society that wants Christians to be quiet. We live in a society where it wants Christians to compromise with everything that comes along. We're taught tolerance in school. We're taught tolerance in corporations. We're taught sensitivity training, they call it. I'm supposed to be sensitive to your point of view, even if it contradicts the Word of God, even if it contradicts what Jesus Christ bled and died for. I'm supposed to be sensitive and accept that. You see these little bumper stickers on cars that say, "Coexist." Well, that's a nice, warm, fuzzy little thought, but that's not what God says. That is not what the Word of God says. And so Peter boldly told him, he said, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, is how this man is standing." And the reason I bring up our society is we have been quiet too long. We need to be more like Peter. We need to be able not to argue with them. He didn't argue. He didn't put up a fight. But when they asked him what he had to say, he told them. And he told them, "Jesus Christ is the reason this man can walk. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him." And that's what we have to tell a lost and dying world. This nation is in a hell of a shape, pardon the expression. But it is. It's on a slippery slope heading for hell really fast. But God can change things. We still serve the same God that Peter and John were talking about. We still serve a God who's on the throne. We still serve a living God, one who was resurrected from the dead. And he can still turn things around if we will do our part and be his hands and feet in a lost and dying world. There's actually several points that I was going to make. Number one, when they were arrested, it doesn't say that he argued, he fussed, he contradicted them or anything. It just says they arrested him. It was very quiet. He submitted to the authority. You know, we never know when the things that we think are so bad are going to give us an opportunity to witness to somebody. You can be in an assembly of people and you can have an opportunity to speak a word for God. And then if somebody approaches you about that and says, well, we don't mention God and we don't mention religion, we don't cover that in this type of meeting, you have a perfect opportunity, as Peter did, to witness to them. To tell them why God is important, why he should be a part of everything. And then he submitted to the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. Each one of us, when we accept Christ, we are filled with the Spirit. We're baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says, and we have the Spirit within us. But this is not an endless supply. You don't fill it once and go until you die, unless the Lord takes me now in the next 2 seconds. But we have to continually be filled. We have to go back to the well. We have to go back to that spring, that river of living water, and be filled. And so Peter was continually being filled. He was continually in touch with God. And he was filled with the Spirit. And by being filled with the Spirit, he didn't do it in a confrontational way, but he told them, in essence, you killed Christ, the one who did this. You can't get much bolder than that. You can't get much bolder than Peter in this situation. And he said, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He's saying, all of you spiritual leaders rejected him. You said he isn't Messiah. You said he wasn't from God, and you crucified him. And yet the very thing that you were trying to protect, the church, he is the cornerstone of the church. Because we do not have to worship through a priest. We do not have to worship through a preacher. But we have access to Christ, each and every one of us, at any moment of any day, any time. We have access to Christ. So if you need to be filled with the Spirit, if you're facing a coworker who's difficult, if you're facing someone who just ridicules you for your beliefs, if you're facing someone who is just so dejected and so down and so far away from God, if you worry about what you're going to speak, all you have to do is be filled with the Spirit. Jesus Christ said, I will send the Helper, and He will bring to mind what you need to speak to these people. We have no excuse except our own sinful selfishness. Our own sinful selfishness. He used the word when he said, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He was quoting from Isaiah. He was quoting the Old Testament to the very people who were supposed to be teaching everybody else. He was quoting to them, saying, look, you talk about how you know your Scripture. Well, look at all the Scripture that pointed to Christ and you reject it. Well, look at all the Scripture that tells us the Great Commission and all the things in the New Testament that tell us that we should be taking God to a lost and dying world, and yet we're rejecting it by not being vocal about it. I'm not telling us to go up and start arguments. He didn't do that. Peter and John didn't do any of that. They submitted. They were arrested. They spent a night in jail. They stood before him, and when they asked him a question, they saw the opportunity, and Peter told them the truth. We're so afraid. We live in a society that doesn't want to offend anybody. And think about this. We live in a society where we're supposed to be accepting everybody. We're not supposed to offend anybody. And how's that working out? How's our society? Have you heard of any murders or mass shootings or people abusing women or men or somebody abusing somebody else? Or the children? I told Kathy, you can't the local news anymore. Hardly a week goes by that there's not an article of some child being abused. Either killed, injured, maimed, something. How's it working out? This everything is okay kind of deal. I don't think it's working out too well, do you? If we're honest with ourselves, all paths do not lead to God. All roads do not lead to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except by me. There's a world out here that is blinded by Satan, that is, they're dying and going to hell, and Satan has blinded their eyes to the truth. He's closed their ears to the truth, but the Word of God is stronger than Satan. The Word is stronger than Satan. The Word is stronger than anything else in the world. If we will use the Word, if we will use the help of the Holy Spirit and use the Word, pray about it. When you wake up in the morning, pray, Lord, use me to reach someone today. Someone in my path, someone who needs Jesus Christ. Help me to speak the Word. And Lord, you give me the words. And He will do that. I know that firsthand. I've had to go into situations as a pastor where someone has taken their own life or some such thing as that. And how do you comfort people like that? The only thing I can do is pray the whole time I'm going to meet with these folks. Lord, give me the words. Lord, give me the wisdom. And He will do it. He will do it. When I tell you there's power in the Word, look at their reaction. These are the most powerful men there. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled. They realized they'd been with Jesus. And the man that had been healed was standing with them. And they could say nothing against it. They could say nothing against it. Now, they may not come to Christ immediately when you confront some of these people who are so adamant that Christians are narrow-minded and intolerant and all these other things. You may not reach them the first time you witness. You may not reach them the 100th time you witness to them. But make no mistake about it. Scripture says, or God says, my word will not return unto me void. My word will have an effect. My word will plant a seed. And so, use the Word. Use the Word. Go back and read John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you want to sit down and read something this week, read your Scripture. If you got a long trip and you want to listen to something, listen to it on audio. Think about it. Pray about it. Paul said to pray without ceasing. He meant to be in a constant state of thinking about God, thinking about the Scripture, thinking about the world, thinking about your place with God. Be in a constant state of prayer. And so when they released them, being let go, they went to their own companions and they shared it with them so that they could all praise what God had done for them. I've been locked up and had to go before the judge. Hallelujah! Y'all awful quiet. We ought to be shouting hallelujah. Because we can use that as an opportunity to witness to them. And they sang a song of praise, a prayer of praise. And then toward the end, they weren't satisfied. Oftentimes we witness to a family member, a neighbor, a co-worker, somebody, and it's next year before we do another one. Or maybe even longer than that. How long has it been since the last time you witnessed anybody? Answer that yourself. And they didn't do that. They didn't stop. They prayed for boldness to be even more. Bold, even more. Witness to more people. Lord, give us boldness to reach more and more and more. Instead, we pray, Lord, don't send anybody my way. I don't want to talk to them. I don't know what to say. They'll think I'm a fanatic. They'll think I'm an evangelical Christian. Christ said not to fear man who can only take this physical life, but fear God who can take eternal life. When Peter answered him, he said, should we mind you or God? That's essentially what he said. Should we listen to you or listen to God? Who should we listen to? Who should we be worried about? The politically correct society that wants to tell us how to react to everything? Or God who shows us how to react and have a positive effect? I don't know about you, but this sermon is convicting to me. Don't think the preacher is above what he's preaching. The preacher is just the mouthpiece. Where are you? When's the last time you actually witnessed to somebody? I'm not saying when's the last time you did something good. That's not the same thing. When is the last time you actually talked to somebody about their spiritual walk? Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And let me tell you, you're going to be blind, you're going to be deaf, and Satan's going to have you following every one of those wrong. You come to church, you can be a good person, you can be a good family man, family woman, son, daughter, whatever. But if you don't belong to Jesus Christ, you're still going to hell. It's that simple. So where are you at this point? What do you need to talk to God about? We talked in Sunday school this morning about the importance of coming to the altar. Yes, you can repent right where you sit. I agree with that 100%. But you are repenting to God Almighty. The God who, in one word, can dispose of every bit of this. The God who, with words, spoke every bit of this to you. Don't you think we owe him a little reverence, a little bit of humility, and a whole lot of submission? We're going to have a hymn of invitations. Kathy and Tommy and Kirsten come. Examine your life, your Christian life, and do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do this morning.